जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभा गिरिवर धारी गोपी जन वल्लभा गिरिवर धारी यशोदनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावन चारी यमुना तीरावन चारी जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर श्रीमद एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद की गंतरा श्रीमद भागवतम की समवेद गौर भक्तवृंद की निताय गौर प्रेमानंदे ऑल गोरीस असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल गोरीस असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल गोरीस असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल गोरीस ऑल गोरीस ऑल गोरीस श्री गुरु एंड श्री गौरांग ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 11 चैप्टर 7 लॉर्ड कृष्णा इंस्ट्रक्ट्स उद्धव टेक्स्ट 40 विषयेषु आविशन् योगी विषयेषु आविशन् योगी नाना धर्मेषु सर्वतः नाना धर्मेषु सर्वतः गुणदोष व्यपेतात्मा गुणदोषाव्यपेतात्मा न विसज्जेत वायुवत् न विसज्जेत वायुवत् विषयेष्वाविशन् योगी नानाधर्मेषु सर्वतः गुणदोषव्यपेतात्मा न विसज्जेत वायुवत् विषयेषु आविशन् योगी नानाधर्मेषु सर्वतः गुणदोषव्यपेतात्मा न विसज्जेत वायुवत् विषयेषु आविशन् योगी नानाधर्मेषु सर्वतः गुणदोषव्यपेतात्मा न विसज्जेत वायुवत् द्वेषु आविशन् योगी नानाधर्मेषु सर्वतः गुणदोषव्यपेतात्मा न विसज्जेत वायुवत् विषयेषु आविशन् योगी नानाधर्मेषु सर्वतः नानाद्वेषव्यपेतात्मा न विसज्जेत वायुवत् विषयेषु इंटू कॉन्टैक्ट विथ मेटीरियल ऑब्जेक्ट्स आविशन एंटरिंग योगी वन हु हैज अटेन्ड सेल्फ कंट्रोल नाना धर्मेषु विच हैव डिफरेंट वैरायटीज ऑफ क्वालिटीज सर्वतः everywhere guna good qualities dosha and faults vyapeta atma one who has transcended na visajjeta should not become entangled vayuvat like the wind translation and purport by the Disciples of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Even a transcendentalist is surrounded by innumerable material objects, which possess good and bad qualities. However, one who has transcended material good and evil should not become entangled even when in contact with the material objects. Rather, he should act like the wind. Purport. The wind is the external manifestation of air, whereas prana is the internal manifestation. When the wind passes over waterfalls, it carries sprinkles of clear water and thus becomes most refreshing. Sometimes the wind blows through a beautiful forest, carrying the fragrances of fruits and flowers. At other times, the wind may fuel a fire that burns the same forest to ashes. The wind, however, being fixed in its own nature, remains neutral in both its auspicious and inauspicious activities. Similarly, within this material world, we will inevitably face both pleasing and disgusting situations. If, however, we remain fixed in Krishna consciousness, we will not be disturbed by the inauspicious, nor will we become attached to the materially auspicious. In the course of his spiritual duties, a devotee sometimes finds himself chanting Hare Krishna in a beautiful country atmosphere. And sometimes he finds himself doing the same thing in a hellish city. In both cases, the devotee fixes his mind upon Lord Krishna and experiences transcendental bliss. Although the wind passes through the most dark and forbidding places, the wind is not frightened or disturbed. Similarly, a devotee of Lord Krishna should never be fearful or anxious, even when in the most difficult situation. One who is attached to materially pleasing forms, tastes, smells, sounds and touches will also be repelled by the opposite in each category, thus finding himself surrounded by innumerable good and bad things, the materialist is constantly disturbed. When the wind blows in many directions at once, the atmosphere becomes agitated. Similarly, the mind is constantly attracted and repelled by material objects. There will be such mental disturbance that it will be impossible to think of the absolute truth. Therefore, one should learn from the blowing wind the art of moving through the material world without attachment. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuronmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadatisva Padantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamsha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Yonta Pravishyama Vacham Imam Prasuktam Sanjeevati Akila Shakti Dharasvadamana Anyam Sahasta Charana Svarana Pravadi Prana Namo Bhagavate Purushaya Tupya. Hare Krishna. Welcome everybody for the Srimad Bhagavatam class on March 6th. And I thank the authorities for giving me the opportunity to glorify the Supreme Lord in this most holiest of the holy seats, the Vyasasana. Although I don't deserve to speak. And this particular verse, when I got to read and see, this is specifically for me, because in my the lineage in which I come, family lineage, our surname is Gali, and it has been always a very comical thing, because everybody in Bombay thinks Gali means blasphemy, to give ill words. But the place where I am coming from, in South India, Gali means Hawa. So whenever I have to tell my name, say, "Ye kya hai? What is this? That your name has some kind of name," and I have to constantly clarify. Nowadays, whenever I have to tell somebody, of course, the spiritual name is most prominent, which is Braj Mohan Das. But in case airports or any place I have to tell my name, I pronounce it as Gali. Because if I say my name is Gali, so it looks very awkward. And every time I used to feel that, why does my lineage have this kind of very funny name? We have many surnames like that, Bottle Wala, Chai Wala. Yesterday I met somebody whose name was Acid Wala. So then I got to know that my ancestors were never staying at a place. They're always moving from village to village to village. So one who is constantly moving, that is air, that is the wind. So therefore the surname came as Gali. You will find this surname. And when I started to read this verse, and I started to see the spiritual import of the lineage, the name, maybe this is what ideally somebody who is connected to air or being the learning from the air, we should try to develop detachment. So that was specifically about how this verse connects to me. Other than that, this particular section of the Bhagavatam is where Uddhava is receiving detailed instructions from Lord Krishna. And Uddhava wanted to go back with the Supreme Lord, but Lord Krishna had a task that you cannot right now come back with me because I have given mercy to everybody but not to the sages in the Badrikashram. And therefore you should take sannyas and then go and give your association to those sages. And although Uddhava didn't like, but because it was Lord's instruction, it was not that he was going to do a very half-hearted job. Usually when in things that we like to do, we put our full heart. But in things that we are forced to do, we all the time face that. Then we just do the bare minimum. But although initially he didn't like to leave Lord Krishna, but after Lord Krishna gave him the instruction that now you should go to Badrinath, and he is not feeling that he is qualified enough to go and actually instruct the sages without receiving proper instructions from the Supreme Lord. Same story comes with Loknath Goswami. When Lord Chaitanya had told Loknath Goswami that you should go to Vrindavan because you will not be able to bear separation from me, although receiving the instruction directly from the Supreme Lord, Loknath Goswami went to each and every Vaishnava in Navadvip and he begged their blessings, their instructions, and then he proceeded to Vrindavan. And same quality of, although Uddhava has been with Lord Krishna since a century, almost a century, he is not feeling that he knows enough, that he knows it all. Therefore, why should I again take instructions from the Supreme Lord? I was always waiting for the opportunity to give class. And now Lord Krishna told me to go and give class in Badrikashram. So, he is not going there feeling entitled or that I deserve to do this. But in a very submissive and eager mood, he is inquiring from Krishna. And Krishna, here he gives almost the whole 11th canto. Majority of it is Krishna instructing Uddhava. Everything is so much in detail. And this particular chapter also begins because of Uddhava's inquiry that how does one cultivate detachment, because in this world, whatever situation you get into, you get attached to it. It's very easy that the traits come along with you. Although you may not be able to see, everybody around you can see this guy, the way he speaks or the way he walks or the way he eats is all because of his past background that he is carrying. And it is not easy to be unattached while we are going through a situation. And Lord Krishna, he refers to an episode that happened with his forefathers, one of the great forefathers of Lord Krishna, Yadu Maharaj. And Yadu, he was a great king. In fact, the whole story is amazing how Yadu was given the reins of whole Bharatvarsha. And he, at one point, he comes in touch with a very strange looking Brahmana. In Bhagavatam it is, he is called as Avadhuta Brahman, Avadhut. And when Yadu sees this Avadhut Brahman, same mood that Uddhava is carrying. Although Yadu himself is already 100% spiritual, fully Krishna conscious, he is still wanting to know more. And at times, especially when you are certified as a king and when you are known to be such a spiritual person, you are very discriminative in whom you take the knowledge from. Because you think that you are already wise enough and it is very difficult to find people that are wiser than you. And we always have some set criteria, maybe based on the color, maybe based on the experience or the following that a person has. And then we think that wisdom is available in these pockets and not everywhere. There is partial truth in that. But here, Yadu, when he meets Avadhut Brahman, he immediately recognizes that here is a person who can enlighten me. And he is completely feeling that he doesn't know. Therefore, it is said there are two steps to go to the spiritual world. The first step is that of learning. And the second step is that of unlearning. And learning is easy because initially you don't have anything and it is easy to learn. But after you learn a lot of things, then it becomes difficult to unlearn all those wrong ways of practice, wrong ways of understanding, wrong ways of looking at things. And that's what Isha Upanishad calls as, one who is self-realized is enlightened both in vidya and avidya. And this stage of unlearning is often the most difficult stage, and most of us don't even dare to go into that stage. That's what is in the Varnashrams. It is Brahmachari, Grahastha, and Vanaprastha and Sannyas. Two stages of learning and two stages of unlearning. And here, Yadu, no matter how busy he is with his obviously ruling the kingdom and taking care of many things, he is still attentive to his spiritual growth. He is not undermining that need to spiritually grow. And without that spiritual quest in a human being is Pashu, Dvipada Pashu, Dharmena Hina Pashubir Narana. And this is the first shloka that we quote in the Journey of Self-Discovery courses, that without enquiring to the Dharma, one just is a two-legged animal. But after the learning stage, again this becomes valid, because again, if the spiritual quest is removed, then all that remains of that life is a story. Just like if from the Bhagavatam, if you remove the instructions and the prayers, then all that remains is a story. And Bhagavatam with the spiritual quest, in the story is how they behave, how do they instruct, what is the lessons that they are conveying to the world. That is what is of the prime importance. And during the stage of learning, it said, after a while, we start to compare with others who are on the path of this stage of learning. And we stop to focus on my own growth, my own journey of discovering myself. And therefore, Mahavishnu Maharaj, he says that the maximum time devotees waste is in looking at others. I remember in the kite festival, the Sankranti time, most boys, they fly kites. But there are some who don't fly kites, who look at others flying kites. And they feel, if somebody is not able to fly the kite, they feel good. And if somebody is able to fly the kite, they feel, depending on the relationship, they feel good or bad. Or if there is some kind of war that happens in the, what is that? That one kite tries to cut another kite. And so they are on the terrace, they have the kite, the thread, everything there. And they may be also be flying something. But the majority of the time is that, how is my kite compared to others? Rather than looking at how is my kite compared to the sky. Because sky is that Krishna consciousness. And instead of trying to go as much as we can with whatever thread Krishna has given us, we end up wasting the time in looking at others. And then someone or other comes and cuts our kite. And there are some others who are very interested in catching others' kites, that they just want to accumulate. That maine itna patang jama kiya hai. And they run after different kites that are there. Unfortunately, I was on the last category. I never used to fly kites. I was always used to catching others' kites and just accumulating. And maybe by Krishna's mercy in spiritual life, I don't do that. But this is what amazing analysis that Mahavishnu Maharaj does. And in the Avadhut Brahmana's account, he starts to say that in his life, first of all, Lord Krishna explains that every soul, every jiva is his own guru. Everyone is his own guru. Now this seems to be some kind of modern language, modern kind of theory. But Krishna explains that every jiva is his own guru, and the nature that is around him, the situations that allow him to learn through oneself many great lessons. And if one neglects one's own learning capacities and doesn't make use of Krishna's power that he has given us, then he won't grow after a while. Just like a diya. The diya, when you light up, the camphor is there. Now the camphor lights up the diya immediately. But if the diya, if the cotton wig is not soaked with ghee, you just have camphorized. Upar se niche tak, कैंफर लगा दिया. सो द लाइट विल कम, द फायर विल कम, बट दैट फायर विल एक्चुअली क्रिएट लॉट ऑफ सूट, लॉट ऑफ ब्लैक स्मोक, एंड इट वॉन्ट बी वेरी प्लीजिंग टू लुक एट ऑल्सो. द इट विल बी वेरी एशी. बट वेन द घी, वेन द घी विक इज इम्ब्यूड विथ घी, देन दैट फायर विच इज lighted by the camphor, it actually is able to sustain that fire. And you see, it's a very smooth and long sustaining fire that can be there on the ghee wick. And that camphor that is put on the ghee wick is like the association, is like the blessings, the lessons that we may get from different sources, the inspiration that we get. But the ghee that is inside the ghee wick is our self-endeavor, swadhyaya, or Bhagavatam says swacheshtita. And depending on how much that swacheshtita is there, the person will actually take use of that camphor that was put. Therefore, we see in Mahaprabhu's in Gaur Lila that Lord Chaitanya's associates, they met Lord Chaitanya maybe once or twice or maybe thrice. How many times did Raghunath Goswami get to meet Lord Chaitanya? How many times did Sanatan Goswami get to meet Lord Chaitanya and take instructions from him? And but their personal desire to serve Lord Chaitanya was so great, to assist Lord Chaitanya was so great, that those tiny times that they got, they could soak in so much. Sometimes you have these kinds of taps that just trickle water drop by drop, and there are taps that can just fill a whole bucket in few seconds. Especially when the water tanker comes, the pipe is so big, the whole bucket is filled up in a second. And that desire to grow, and the desire to grow comes mainly from this feeling that I don't know, that I need to know. Therefore it is said, most people that come to spiritual meetings, spiritual gatherings, they come not to change their vision, not to change their ideas, but to get some entertainment and to get some new stories about the perspective which they are having. Nobody likes to be shaken up with the perspective that they are seeing the world with. And even if somebody shakes up, if it is a bit, it is accepted. If it is a big, then it is often rejected. And Avadhut Brahmana, he starts to say that he is learning from many natural situations that he is seeing, and there are 24 in number. I don't know if he himself gives this number as 24, but we all like to have numbers. 10 topics of Bhagavatam or 6 ways to surrender. Even in news, that is the most common trend, that 10 things you don't know about this episode that has happened. Then people want to know it. The same way, the Avadhut Brahmana, 24 gurus, 24 ways in which he learnt. And then maybe people like us, we get interested. I want to know all the 24. If the number is not mentioned, then maybe after a while, we'll say, it seems to be unlimited, I don't want to go further. And first, he speaks about what he learned from earth. This, the class has already happened. Before Gaur Purnima, the earth was covered. Then he speaks about how he learned from the mountain, and how we learn from the tree. And in this episode, he is speaking that how we learn from the wind. So maybe categorical, I'm not sure, but on the earth lies the mountain, on the mountain lies the tree, on the tree flows the, through the tree flows the wind. And here he is speaking that how the wind doesn't get attached to any situation through which it is passing. And this learning from nature is not just in spiritual circles. In the scientific circles, this is one of the main ways they make progress, is learning from nature. This is called as biomimicry. That mimicry means to imitate. So you see what is happening in nature and then you try to imitate that. Sometimes you see a mosquito or a fly, it sits on your hand, and when you try to kill it or shoo it away, it immediately flies off, great speed. And at times you see the fly or the mosquito is constantly hovering around your ears, making a very annoying sound, or sometimes they make a crown, the mosquito crown, and they are like making a, maybe they are not getting a airport clearance, landing clearance, so they are just hovering on our head. And it's amazing to see that they can change their speed as per the situation. When you try to kill them, they run with double speed, and when you don't, then they are like smoothly gliding. And then scientists wanted to know, how does the fly control its speed? And then they found out that within them is a gear system. They have, like in the car, we have gears, first gear, second gear, third gear, fourth gear. So they also have their gear system within the their small, tiny, small body. And it is said that the gears that are there in the car is a mimicry of the gears that are there in the flies. And in this way, there are hundreds of examples of biomimicry, that you see what is in the nature and then you try to use that knowledge for your own purpose. And this 24 gurus, you can say it is a spiritual biomimicry, that you are trying to learn from nature and get into your own life those very, very important lessons that you can grow with. And one important word that is mentioned here is that guna dosha vepet atma. That in this world, there are some things very good and some situations that are very bad. And usually when we go through a bad situation, that gives us lot of trauma and we are not able to come out of it. Classic case is Amba. Now Amba went through that humiliating situation where she was not accepted by Shalya, she was not accepted by Bhishma, she was like Trishanku, no place to go. And then she takes a vow that she will take revenge on Bhishma. And she was never able to forgive and move on with her life. That's where her life got poised. And when somebody goes through a good situation, then even that just gets into you and you are not able to deal with somebody. Usually when something good happens, then it increases your pride. And in Krishna Lila, one of the early demons that comes to kill Krishna was Trinavarta. And because this is about air, about Vayu, so I also saw that are there any lessons about from Trinavarta that is pertaining to this verse. So Trinavarta, he came as a tornado, a huge wind, because in the purport it is described that when the wind flows in one direction, then it is very nice. But when the wind starts to flow in all directions, then that's what creates a tornado, because then it starts to move. And slowly, slowly that starts to accumulate and it becomes a huge tornado that can rip off houses, that can rip off big, big buildings, dams. And Trinavarta, he had this mystical powers to create a tornado, and he was in the center of it. And he came to take Krishna. And this is the third demon that comes in Krishna Lila. The first was Putana, and the second is Shakatasur, and the third is Trinavarta. And this episode happened almost near Krishna's first birthday, his first Janmashtami. So just before that, this had happened. And my mother Yashoda, she was playing with Krishna, throwing him up in the air and catching. And then suddenly Krishna becomes heavy. And when Krishna becomes so heavy, she is not able to understand that. Why has he become so suddenly so heavy? So she goes inside the house to take care of some other household things. And as Krishna lies there. And that's when Trinavarta comes. And he creates this huge dust all around Vrindavan. And such thick dust or fog that nobody is able to see anything. And Mother Yashoda, immediately she becomes very afraid. And she starts to search for Krishna. Where is Krishna? And she is not able to find Krishna. And she loses her consciousness. Just like a cow when she loses her calf. And then Krishna, it said that he wanted to go up and get a good view of the place where he is staying. I remember when Google Earth was initially there, or Google Maps. More, that is one of the main things that people do, that they zoom out. Then they zoom out and they see how does Bombay look. Or when people go up on the plane, that especially the first timers or the initially, they want to see how does my place where I stay look from top. So I did that with our Radha Gopina temple also. When Google Earth had come maybe 10 years back, tried to search. First of all, it was not visible. Where is it? Where is it? So Krishna, he also wanted to zoom out. And he didn't use any software, he used a hardware. He used Trinavarta's intentions to take him up, high up, so that he can get a good view of Vrindavan. So that is the rasa part. But the tattva part, the lessons that Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives, is that Trinavarta, this represents false pride. Our pride in our learning. And when we are proud that we know, we learn, then that starts to give us a superiority feeling, or it starts to take us up. As they say, his head is in the clouds. And initially it's quite entertaining to use one's pride in learning, speculative powers to go higher and higher up. And often that is also with Krishna. So many speculative philosophers are there, writers are there. They don't just speculate. They want to speculate about Ram, about Krishna. They can speculate themselves. But they want to use the stories of Krishna, stories of Ram, stories from the Mahabharata, and then they want to speculate. Because just speculating doesn't have that thrill as speculating with Krishna. And they think, yes, it is nice. I am taking Krishna for a round, for a toss. And Krishna also agrees to go up and up and up. And suddenly at one point, Krishna starts to become heavy. And when Krishna starts to become heavy, then Trinavartas tries to take him out. But Krishna just holds his neck. And the lesson that is given is why Krishna holds the neck. Because the neck is one of the important organs. Most people that are students or software engineers, the problems happens with the neck. Cervical spondylitis. You just keep bending and reading and there is so much pain here. And also, the neck gets stiff. And when you have a stiff neck, it is difficult to look around. And so the head is there, the vision is there, but the neck gets stiff. And same problem happens with pride in one's learning. When one becomes proud in his learning, his neck gets stiff. He is not able to bow down. He is not able to bend his head down. Because that neck, which is his learning, has made that neck very stiff. Nor does that stiff neck allow him to look up. Nor does it allow him to look around. So you are not able to look up to Krishna. You are not able to submit yourself to the devotees, nor is it able to, you are able to look around to learn from everything that is happening around you. And this is one thing that most dictators or anybody that had a fall from way up, down, has suffered with. What is that problem? A stiff neck. Survival spondylitis. That this whole survival is at stake because he has got a stiff neck because of the learning. And one famous example that I know is that of Hitler. Hitler, he was expanding his empire through his strong military forces far and wide. And as he was expanding, as he was getting one success after another, he started to get great faith in his ability to make strategies, in his plans, that his plans actually work. And the proof of it is that there are so many proofs that this one he conquered because of his strategy. And the more one starts to become successful in his material affairs, the more his neck starts to get stiff. And one of the proofs of him having a stiff neck was that he was not willing to listen from anybody, ideas from anyone. And anybody who is to come to him with a bad news or that we are losing here, he used to punish that guy. That how can you say something bad about my plan or my system? That I think you are being corrupted, you are being paid by somebody else from the outside, and therefore you are speaking like this. So he used to kill them, or sometimes he used to humiliate them or remove them from their position. And what happened was that there was no one who is daring to come to Hitler to tell him what's going wrong with his society, with his organization, with his empire. And when Hitler's forces were going to Russia, and because of the cold they were never used to, and there was a lot of wrong things that were happening, But no news that was coming to Hitler, because he had surrounded himself, he had placed himself, as they say in English literature, in an ivory tower, in a place where nobody could enter and convey him the news that what's going wrong. And opposed to that is Lord Ram, Ram Rajya, where Lord Krishna, Lord Ram, he was so conscious to know how the common person is feeling. And what is the layman thoughts. And because of that, that is one quality of a good leader, that he never loses touch and his neck never becomes stiff. But those who are conquered by this pride in false learning or pride in false success that they get, they often even take Krishna consciousness for a ride, that they can speculate and enthrall the audience in such ways that seems that Krishna is with me. As I am going high up, Krishna is with me. So, but Krishna is there only for showing that if you are not actually in a mood to serve and mood to in a humble mood, your feet are not on the ground, then any time Krishna will choke you up and then you fall bitterly, you fall very badly. Napoleon, Hitler, any powerful organization or society or a leader that gets into this kind of pride. And that's what is Trinavarta represents. So I was comparing that rice has two varieties. When you try to make some rice items, there is puffed rice and there is chipped rice. And puffed rice, you know, is kurmura. And chipped rice is poha. And if you see the Sudama's story, Sudama had taken chipped rice. Chipped rice, even according to Ayurveda, is healthy because it doesn't have anything inside it. It is totally flattened rice. But whereas kurmura is, it's called as puffed rice. And Prabhupada always used to call as, he is puffed up. So somebody who is proud is often puffed up. And according to Ayurveda, those who eat kurmura a lot, then kurmura has all this air inside it. And this air goes into the system and it creates a lot of disturbance. So same way when we take puffed rice or when we become puffed up, then the air gets into our system and it creates a lot of disturbance. But whatever we are taking, if we are taking it as chipped rice, that it is only by the devotee's mercy, I'm not qualified and there is no, I don't deserve this, but still devotees are giving me this opportunity, then that is very healthy. So we can eat rice, chipped rice, but if we try to take without proper digestive capacity to handle all that air that goes inside, then it creates a lot of vata problem. That's what there are many phrases in English that say that gone with the wind or his air is in the clouds. And I would like to conclude that this wind also has a good part, as this verse is speaking, that it doesn't get detached and we are able to move only because of the prana. As the purport explains, that the prana is the internal manifestation of air and external manifestation is the wind. Without wind, without oxygen, we are all dead. And without it is said without food one can survive for long, but without water it is difficult to survive. And more difficult than water is air. Without air it is even more difficult to survive. And so the air and the air that is within us or the devotees that are around us, it is only the mercy of other acharyas. And once I was hearing that one very exalted Vaishnava in our society, he was being glorified by other devotees that, oh Prabhuji, oh Maharaj, you are doing so well, you are amazing. And this devotee, he said that, I am not amazing, I am just a leaf. And the wind that is taking me all across, the grace of the acharyas, grace of Prabhupada, that is amazing. The leaf is not amazing, but the wind that is blowing us is amazing. So same way we are all maybe leaves or just dust, but somehow the wind has made us to come into this, into the inside the temple campus, and somehow we are here. And if and hope not Krishna blows the wind so that this tiny particle again flows out back into the material ocean, and we pray that this dust particle just remains within this devotee association and in a submissive mood, not going to the head of Krishna but at the feet of Krishna all through the wind. So thank you very much for your kind attention and patience, and if anything that I have spoken that is beyond me or not appropriate, please forgive me. But if something that was there that was worthy to be learned and taken, I am grateful. Hare Krishna.